Now, folks, on this side's pretty well filling up. Y'all got to get out here and work. You know, it's still winter, but Ted McCord and others already working in the greenhouse, and some of you are at least mentally planning out where your garden's going to go and how many rows of this, that, and the other that you're going to do. So this morning, I thought I would start out with two imaginary conversations. Now, these will take place about in July. Now, you know, maybe I better put them at some other church than here. But anyway, two guys are standing out on the front porch of the church, and the first one says something like this: "Man, I've got the best green beans we've ever had. We've just had row after row, and we've cooked fresh green beans, and we've canned green beans, and we've frozen green beans, and we've given green beans away. It's been a fabulous crop." And the guy he's talking to says, "You know," says, "my garden won't grow green beans." "Your garden won't grow green beans?" "No, my garden won't grow green beans." "Well, how many rows of green beans did you plant?" "Oh, I didn't plant any." Well, the next week, the two guys are talking, and the first guy says something like this: "You just wouldn't believe my garden, how well I've kept it and kept the weeds and the stuff out of it. It's just beautiful." And the other old fellow says, "I don't understand it. My garden's full of weeds and briars and gourds. It's just overrun with that stuff." "Well, why?" "I don't know." "Well, what did you do to cause it?" "I didn't do anything to cause it." "Well, are you sure?" "Well, now that you mention it, last fall whenever we were cleaning out all the briars and the weeds and the grass out of the flower beds, I threw those out there in the garden. And then whenever Halloween was over, I took all the gourds that my wife had used for decorations and threw those out in the garden, and I plowed them under, though." And the first guy is going to say, "You know, he's a few bricks shy of a full load." Now you say, "Ed, you tell a lot of stories, but those are the two dumbest stories you've ever told." But you know, let's look at the Bible and then see if there's a spiritual application. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. And we're going to look at three passages of scriptures and then try to make some applications. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." Now turn over to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8, and this is right after the flood. In the last verse of chapter 8, verse 22, God talking to Noah: "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Now, think about it. We depend upon the way God created things for our harvest. You don't go out with a handful of green bean seed and say, "Well, I wonder when I plant these if I'm going to get corn or tomatoes or potatoes." You know that when you plant green bean seed you're going to get green beans. That's the way God made things. You don't go out and say, well, you know, I had peaches on this tree last year, but I don't, this year it may have pears or apples or cherries. No, you realize if it had peaches last year, it's going to have peaches this year, it's going to have peaches next year. In God's creation, He set forth that that which we sow is that which we harvest. That which we sow is that which we harvest. And He says it will be that way as long as this earth stands. Now turn with me over to the book of Galatians and read something very serious that Paul wrote to the Galatian Christians. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Paul says to these Galatian Christians, just as growing corn and beans and tomatoes and peaches and apples and all of the things that we eat come from the seed that we sow, so it is in our spiritual lives. That which we sow is that which we harvest. It's a spiritual principle. Millions of Christians are scratching their heads and wondering and pondering and saying, why is my life like it is? Why are things turning out like they are? I don't understand it. And yet, their lives are like they are on the basis of the fact of what others have sown into their lives or of what they have sown themselves into their lives. Now, I'm going to maybe run through 7 or 8 or 10 different areas of life and see if the Holy Spirit causes you to say, praise the Lord, or if the Holy Spirit causes you to say, ouch. And these aren't in any order of importance, they're just as the Holy Spirit brought them to my mind as I was putting them down. What about finances? All of us like an increase financially. But are we sowing financially? In order to reap a harvest financially, we have to sow financially. You know, we want this kind of harvest, we have to sow this way. We have to sow the seed for the harvest that we want. And a lot of folks are wondering why they're not getting better financially. It's because, okay, just to use an ugly word, they're tightwads. You know, they don't sow. And because they don't sow, they don't harvest. Are you sowing financially? And folks, it doesn't have to be a big deal. I mean, you know, I've lived on a preacher's salary. My wife was a teacher assistant and then a teacher. And, you know, they don't get rich either, do they? But how easy it is to sow, how easy it is to sow financially. A couple of weeks ago, Pam's sister Jill mentioned something she'd like to have for cooking. And I was going through Ingles the other day and I saw it at less than $10. So I just bought it. And so we saw Jill this week and had it in just the Ingles bag. And I said, here's your happy Groundhog Day present. And she was tickled pink, but you know, she said, you guys, talking about me and Pam, look for every excuse to give something away. You know, she was pleased with something that cost less than 10 bucks. It's not how much. It's the heart that loves to give, the love to sow. And in order to sow, we start where we are, and we sow, and then we harvest on the basis of what we sow. What about your church? I think if I took a vote and said, how many of y'all want Barber's Grove Church to grow, everybody would raise their hand. But let me ask you, are you sowing by attending consistently? Are you sowing by giving your tithes and your offerings? Are you sowing by praying for your church? Are you sowing by calling people on the phone, both members and former members and folks in the neighborhood? Are you sowing by knocking on some doors? I was talking with a friend the other day, and he was talking about how Prospect has gone from 150 to 700 in attendance. Said there's a lot of knocking on doors. A lot of knocking on doors. We say, okay, I want my church to grow. Well, we can sit over here in the chair and say, well, I hope it's going to happen. No, if we want the church to grow, we've got to sow some growth seeds. We've got to sow some growth seeds if we want our church to grow. And depending, you know, our community isn't as big as, you know, someplace in Charlotte. So it's doubtful we're going to ever have 10,000 people here. But very easily we could double if we sow some growth seed. It doesn't just happen. No farmer sits out there and waits and waits and waits and says, I'm not going to sow anything. He knows he's got to sow some seed. What about your Sunday school class? You say, I'd like my Sunday school class to be a live, dynamic Sunday school class. Well, do you sow some seed as a teacher and study, preparation, extra materials? Or do you, you know, you get up on Sunday morning and while you're shaving, you glance through the lesson, and while you're putting on your makeup, you glance through the lesson and then read it to the class and hope they don't ask you a question you can't answer. You know, if we want our class to grow, sow some seed of godly teaching. What about your marriage? What about your marriage? Are you sowing loving words, kind words? I embarrass my wife every so often by saying something from the pulpit about how pretty she is or how much I love her. But, you know, I want her to know and I want you to know. Now, you know, there's a couple of jokes I'm going to tell you, and you may not think they're funny, but, you know, like one guy said, well, I told her I loved her before we got married, and I told her if I ever changed my mind, I'd let her know. Well, no, she she needs to know every day that you still love her. Every day. Then another one I heard about, you know, couple having problems, and so he takes her to the doctor, and it's pretty obvious that he's just not giving her much attention. So the doctor walks over to her, grabs her and gives her a great big old kiss that buckles her knees, turns to the man and says, she needs that regularly. And so he still doesn't get it, so he says, how many times a week do I need to bring her over? Folks, you want your marriage to be blessed, then sow seeds of love and kindness and caring. Compliment her on what she's wearing or how he looks or how hard he's working or whatever. Sow seeds in your marriage. What about your kids? Some of you are probably messed up right now because of what was sown into your life when you were children. You know, there's kids that hear every day something like this: "You're the stupidest brat I've ever seen, and I hate the day I ever had you." I think it was Wednesday night. I was telling the class. I did some substitute school teaching and had this little like 8-year-old boy come into the class one day near the end of the year, and I'd been in his class 7 or 8 different times, and he says, "My daddy says we're losers and we're always never going to get ahead," and he just went on and on and on about what a rotten life he had and how rotten his dad said their life was and was always going to be. An 8-year-old boy who's already scarred because he's been told he's sorry, his family's sorry, and they're always going to be sorry, and they're never going to get ahead. How much better it is if we sow a seed that says, "Honey, you're the sweetest, best kid, and I just thank the Lord every day that you're my child. And I just love you so much." It's amazing how kids that know that they're loved, how kids that know that they're appreciated, how kids that know that they're wanted blossom. How kids that know that you think that they can do, they may not always be an A student, maybe they are. But a kid that's told you can do it will go a lot farther than a kid that's told you're as dumb as a rock. What kind of seed are we sowing? All over the world, unfortunately, even in Christian families, there's seed that are put into the life of a kid. And you know, if it's put into you, it's hard to get out of it. It's hard to get out of it. But the seed that we sow, God isn't mocked. Whatsoever we sow, we shall reap. What about our spiritual growth? Most of us will say, you know, "I'd love to be a strong man or woman of God. I'd love to be a prayerful prayer warrior, a powerful one." But that doesn't happen automatically. We have to spend some time in God's Word, in listening to good preaching, teaching, reading the right kind of materials, spending time with God. Now, you may have a lightning fast super brain, and you may keep your Bible on the nightstand right beside of your bed, but I guarantee you, your brain isn't good enough to absorb that stuff from that nightstand while you sleep. If your Bible is just something you pick up off the nightstand, dust off a little bit on Sunday morning when you head to church, you will never, ever become a spiritual giant. It doesn't take long. It takes consistency. I think I've told you before of a friend of mine that, you know, he went from a nominal Christian to a guy that I just almost didn't want to talk to about the Bible to, because he knew more than I did. How did he do that? In about 2 years? He had a job where he traveled, and that was back in the days of the cassettes, and he had a car full of cassettes, and he listened to this preacher and this preacher and this teacher all day long while he was going from one customer to another. And in just a short period of time, he went with somebody that almost wasn't even sure he was saved to a super, super Christian, because he was absorbed and he wanted to be absorbed and he wanted to grow. He planted seed, good seed, gospel seed, day after day after day, and it made a difference. You know, only as we plant good seed will we grow spiritually. All of us want to be forgiven. But are we planting some forgiveness seed? You know, there are people that go through life and, you know, like the old proverbial bull in a china shop, they hurt these feelings and that feeling and this feeling, and they never, they think everybody ought to forgive them. But they wouldn't forgive you for anything. Planting forgiveness seed opens the door for others to forgive us. Neighbors, friends, family members. What kind of seed do we plant? Did you catch what Paul said? God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's going to be his harvest. He sows to the flesh, he reaps corruption. He sows to the Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit, he reaps life everlasting. You know, in the last year or so, it's just exploded on the news. This athlete, this politician, this movie star, this newscaster, and all the sexual things that they've done for the last 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And I realize that one angry ex-wife or one angry ex-employee can say something and ruin a person's reputation forever. But when 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, or like the guy that was doing with the Olympic gymnast, multiple people, what they sowed is what they harvested. What they sowed is what they harvested. The bad news is, if we sow weeds, we're going to harvest weeds. The good news is, if we sow good seed, we harvest good stuff. And just like you can get out there and you can plant Half Runners or Silver Lake or Blue Lake or whatever it is, different kinds, you can plant different seed. Every day, every time you open your mouth and talk to somebody, you're planting seed. And you know, if we've planted some bad seed, sometimes we need to go to apologize. Sometimes we need to pray for crop failure. You know? Maybe there's some situations where you can't go back and apologize. But you say, Lord, I didn't realize when I opened my mouth and said that or did that 5, 10, 15 years ago, the seed that I was planting, God, please bring crop faith. That's okay. God is a God of forgiveness. God is a God of mercy. And I'm glad some of the things I planted, I prayed for crop failure and I didn't harvest. And so can you. And sometimes you do have to apologize and say, Lord, you know, I blew it. And you go to that person and say, I blew it. I shouldn't have said that to you. But be conscious. That old boy that didn't have any green beans because he didn't plant any. Like Christians, they want wonderful things to happen in their lives, but they don't plant the good seed. And that fellow with all the weeds in his garden is like Christians who do and say things that are not Christ-like and expect no results. But the harvest comes. I pray for myself and for each of us that we plant good seed. Good seed in our marriages. Good seed with our children and our grandchildren. Good seed with our neighbors and our friends. Good seed with our church. Good seed financially. And we receive a harvest. Now, you know, the more you plant, the better and bigger the harvest. My backyard in Oklahoma wasn't, you know, about this big, and it was had gas pipeline and telephone line and cable line. So finally, the last year I was out there, and I didn't know I was going to move back, I built some raised beds and bought enough fertilizer, soil, topsoil and stuff put in there. And I had some good tomatoes and cucumbers. But you know what I found out? You can't go and buy enough of those little packets of green bean seed to have any green beans much. What, about 10 seeds per package or something like that? I thought I was going to really have some green beans to can. We got enough to eat, I think, twice, but not enough to can. You know, those are low pay. And I never did find a place out there where I could go in there and say, give me a scoop of those. Or I'd like to have a half a pound. Like I could, you know, used to go to Wilson Farm Supply or someplace or FCX and buy them by the half a pound or whatever. The more you plant, the bigger the harvest. The more you plant, the bigger the harvest. And so let me say, plant good seed, plant a lot of good seed, and God, who created this world and says he will not be mocked, that which we plant is that which we harvest, we shall receive. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment? Right before we have our invitation, let me ask you, is there some seed that you need to pray for a crop failure for? Ask the Lord to forgive you. Then promise the Lord that you'll do anything necessary to make sure that those seed don't come to fruition. Are there some good seed that you've been sowing? Thank the Lord for the harvest that's coming. Are there some good seed you need to be sowing? Promise the Lord that you'll sow those seed. And thank the Lord for the harvest that will come. Father, thank you that every seed bears after its own kind. Thank you that that's going to be that way till Jesus comes. And thank you, Father, that when we sow to the Spirit godly things, we reap a godly harvest. And Father, I commit myself and I commit the people of this church to sowing godly seed in this church, this community, our families, our friends. And I thank you that you are the Lord of the harvest and you will send the harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing the invitation hymn, if you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to come and just talk to the Lord about something that where you had to say ouch or whether you said praise the Lord. Some other decision you want to share with me, would you come as we sing?